Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to open wide and sample Ted's meat and potatoes. Now, here's your host, head chef of the men's room, the Ted Nugent.
Head chef in the house. Thank you, folks. Thank you. So the folks over at Slate, they put together a list of what they consider the 25 most important recipes of the past century. The ones that changed it all in American cooking.
All right.
Now I just have the top five here.
Top five.
Miles had mentioned it earlier, but it is the Caesar salad. Made by Caesar Cardini, 1964.
I'm glad his name was Caesar, because I'm just saying, like, if you had invented it, they called it the Ted salad. It doesn't have the same effect.
Do you think you sprinkle the Parmesan
the Miles
on like
salad,
this?
The know? Steve salad. Like,
well, in Mexico, they do it the traditional way, where you take the whole romaine leaf
and
you use that. I kind of like cutting into that. I think that's a better Caesar salad.
It is a better Caesar salad. But
I like it. Like, now you can buy bag salads, and it's, like, really thin lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a shredded lettuce guy through and through.
Have you had a Caesar salad made with the actual anchovies in the dressing?
Yeah. But he was an Italian-American.
But he was in Mexico.
But he had moved to Mexico. I can't remember if it was like a anti-Italy thing. It might have been like World War II because of Mussolini.
Right.
So he goes, oh, you know what? My bad. It was Prohibition. So he had a restaurant, but he still wanted to serve booze. So a lot of these guys moved down to old Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started this restaurant. And then, yeah, he said he put the salad together using the dregs of an almost empty icebox, some lettuce, lemon, and egg. W sauce, as I call it now. Some people debate it whether or not it's in there, but yeah, you put it all together and it's awesome. And I mean, Caesar salad, like, again, not the healthiest salad, but you'd be hard pressed to meet somebody who doesn't enjoy a Caesar salad.
I don't like lettuce, but I do like the dressing a lot. We're all used to dressing on other things. And like anything, if you go to almost any restaurant, if they have salads, if they have two, there's like a house salad and a Caesar salad, right?
I would also put chicken Caesar wrap inside of a spinach tortilla up with anything out there.
All day, any day. It's kind of the clam chowder of the salad world. It's always available.
The clam chowder of the salad world.
Well, same thing as the restaurant. You go to a restaurant, you got a house salad, and you got a Caesar salad. You also have the soup of the day or a clam chowder.
Well, as the head chef once said around 3 a.m. smoking weed to people, there's two things you know about Ted Smith. He enjoys blonde white trash woman and anything wrapped in a spinach tortilla.
Including a blonde white trash woman.
They made tortillas that big. Toll House. Chocolate crunch cookies.
No. They're saying this is one of the greatest inventions of the last 100 years.
Yeah, old Ruth Wakefield, Miles, 1938.
Didn't she screw up? Texas sent in early, like she was trying to make chocolate cookies, ran out of cocoa powder, whatever, used chocolate bits. They ended up not melting the way she thought, and she had a chocolate chip cookie.
Correct. No one before her had ever mixed butter cookie with a chocolate cookie.
What were they doing?
They both just existed separately.
But
she mixed them together, and then she worked at the Toll House Inn.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Also, Otis Spunkmeyer is not a real human.
Why would you pick that name if it's not a real person? It's like Orville Redenbacher, right? When he did his commercial, he's like, hi, I'm Orville Redenbacher. I'm like, I believe you, because no one would lie and say
he was a sperm.
Name.
He was a sperm donor.
So I would just assume Otis Spunkmeyer had to be a real person. Like, who said, you know what's going to sell food? Otis Spunkmeyer. I'm telling you, that's the name people want to hear.
It's so salty.
Yeah, it says, I want this in my mouth. I mean, look, I'm in the wrong. It worked. That would not have been the name I picked.
They call it the green bean bake, but it's the green bean casserole as we know it.
This makes the list, too.
Yeah.
This woman, she invented it. She was basically a supervisor in research development at Campbell's Soup Company, which wanted to make a quick, easy recipe using the cream of mushroom soup. The resulting casserole became a holiday staple for years, and the cables began printing the recipe on the soup cans. It's a great story. That one was on how foods have built America.
It wasn't like they just weren't selling the cream of mushroom soup?
Correct.
So make it an ingredient, not the meal.
Basically, she's working in the kitchen. I think she was like a mom and like a wife. And they were tasked her with like, what else can we use our soup for that people would like? And she mixed up a bunch of different stuff. But that green bean casserole, they're like, ooh, we have something here. Yeah.
It's kind of like yeast. Just wasn't selling well. Why don't we make bread?
It's kind of like the French onion soup packet. It doesn't really get made in soup.
French onion soup, right.
I know. We talked about that last week. I can't tell you the last time. I don't know that I've ever had a bowl of French onion soup. I've certainly never made it at home. It's always just onion soup mix and sour cream.
Yep. And that's it.
Saw a good picture today of somebody dragging a ruffled chip. Through dip, and it said, got to get back to my Zen garden. waffles and fried chicken.
Okay.
Nice.
This guy's name's unreal. Verminant Smart Grovesader? I don't know, 1970.
Somebody said, whatever we do, do not use his name.
Yeah, the actor, radio personality, anthropologist, food writer, offered a simple recipe for waffles, assumed the reader already knew how to get fried chicken, and embedded the food deep within it, created a cultural icon. To me, I always thought Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles in L.A. got credit for it. You see it a lot in soul food menus, but I still feel like...
If it's on the menu, do you order it?
I love chicken and waffles.
Okay. I'm not sure that I've ever had it.
We actually made it at home not that long, a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
I will say this. Traditionally, it used to be like a two-piece chicken.
Yeah.
You know, bones involved in the waffles, but a lot of places you go now... Probably not as soulful as some other places. It's usually fried chicken strips.
Strips, yeah, it's strips.
That seems like a proper way to say that. All right, and then the good old-fashioned pancake. That was... Basically, people have been using them forever. I said this, I made pancakes over Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I've ever made them as an adult. Shout out to Dolly Parton, I use her mix.
Huh.
It is so simple.
It's dead easy. I mean,
yeah, they start bubbling up, you flip them.
That's it.
This is mind-blowing.
It is. I'm just not a big pancake eater. Oh. Somebody's like, can we have pancakes? I said, I'll whip up some pancakes. Yeah. I don't give a...
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Damn. And I was just like, man, I get why so many, you know, it's like the stereotype of the single dad, you know, makes pancakes or whatever.
Because they're a hit and they're easy, right? So you end up being a hero and it's like, I kind of did nothing. But yeah, the kids are happy.
Mm-hmm. Plus, if you
make a Mickey Mouse one next time. If you have, if there's little ones around. Like if there's somebody's
house. I did Venus de Milo.
Also, you can make a snowman one. Mm-hmm. You know, bigger bottom, middle than.
Well, I made a bunch of them. There was some left over, and then there was some sausage links. So I basically just made like a little hot dog.
Okay. Oh, no. You know, I would say as far as probably the most important food, I would think ever, right? And not just the last 100 years, I would say pasta. As far as things go, because you can make 10 million different things with it, whether you put it in soup, whether you just put sauce on it, if you're my daughter, just eat it buttered, whatever the case. And remember, so like Italy's known for pasta. It came from China.
Correct.
They were not eating pasta. So Marco Polo went to China and came back. Think about that, man. They're eating seafood. They're eating a lot of vegetables. They're more on a Mediterranean tip, right, in Italy. He comes back with pasta. They basically took it over, and that's what everyone thinks. But, like, China came up with that, man. And as far as just a versatile food that pretty much anyone can eat, unless you have some weird dietary restriction, I would say pasta.
Yeah. Easily. I'd say General Tso's chicken.
Well, spaghetti and meatballs also super simple to make.
Yep.
Cheap, easy to. I mean, I remember.
That's the thing. Pasta stays cheap,
right? Like when you're a Catholic growing up, like the church, like seemed like once a month or whatever, you'd have spaghetti feeds or this or that.
$5.
Yeah, exactly. Right, and they just scoop out all that spaghetti and everything. So you know, you get it. And then also, I mean, Chef Boyardee.
My God, man! Yeah,
who was a presidential chef?
I don't think about that. Everyone makes fun of his food. Like homeboy cooked for presidents.
Yeah, and his name was Chef
Boyardee.
Boyardee.
You think they'd have taken Franco-American based on his name.
Yeah.
Franco-American, I mean, they had SpaghettiOs, but to me, their sauce was always so runny.
Yeah.
And it seems odd to be talking about sauces when they come out of a can.
I know, but still.
Correct. I'm with you. I think that's an important one. And then whether or not we still eat them and everything, but I'm telling you, the guy that invented Hot Pockets, he was the first, him and his buddy, they're the first two to figure out a way to like cook stuff in a microwave and it stays without screwing up the bread and everything.
So it's kind of like the first microwave-specific food that's introduced to the market?
Correct. And then they take that technology of that little silver lining.
Yeah.
And that's what you got, like, remember like the Mama Celeste personal pizzas?
Yep.
You'd put it on that. So basically, microwave foods kind of came along as these guys that invented the Hot Pocket and the way, you know, again, so the bread wouldn't be rock hard or this or that.
My question is, did they work for a food company or did they work for like a microwave manufacturer? Because a lot of times, you know, you create a microwave and you go, guys, that's a great idea, but no matter what food you put in there, to your point, the consistency changes.
Did you guys know they took that away from the Hot Pocket?
What's that?
No longer part of the cooking process.
What's that?
The little silver.
You don't put it in the sleeve?
No, they don't. It's not included in the packaging anymore. They figured out a way to do it without that thing.
Huh? I did not know that. Yeah. But I also don't think I've had a Hot Pocket in probably 12 or 13 years.
Yeah, I've got to give it up to the Uncrustable guy too.
Yeah, that dude. I mean, look, and I'm a peanut butter and jelly purist. I know you guys were excited about the Uncrustable, and I'm like, I'm sure it's good. It cannot be as good as they're saying, and it was every bit as good as you guys said. And that rarely happens where something lives up to the hype. That, to me, truly did.
And speaking of kind of quick foods, the Pop-Tart. Well, Krispy Kreme's is now offering Pop-Tart-inspired donuts. Two of them come with mini Pop-Tarts on top of it.
Oh.
All right.
Three donut flavors would be frosted strawberry, chocolatey fudge, and brown sugar cinnamon, which are kind of the classics. The strawberry has the strawberry filling.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does chocolatey fudge mean it's not actually chocolate? You know, like,
well, fudge is different than chocolate,
I know,
right?
But that's what I mean. When you say chocolate tea fudge, it's kind of like, like Jack in the Box would talk about like their
cheesy sauce.
Cheesy sauce. But
right,
they can't
and
just call it
Taco Bell
cheese.
Says melty cheese.
Right, there's only, you're this is what we're trying to imitate, but it's not exactly that.
Ted, when I worked in Annapolis,
Icy Cream,
the radio station was on top of the fudge factory.
Dairy product.
Dairy product, yes.
Downstairs. And it was in the window. It was this big copper bowl thing. They boiled it up, man. And all the fudge smell would come up and just linger in the studios and the office.
Man.
Every single, it was absolutely torture. It was absolute torture. Fudge smells good when it's being cooked. It's one of the
fudge smells unbelievable, especially if you go to a chocolate shop and you're saying and they're making it right in front of you.
Oh, they got that big paddle, man, and they're doing all the stuff. Jesus, man, every day we like, not again, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, look, when I was a kid, you'd go to these historic sites like Gettysburg, and they'd always have these old shops, and they were always making fudge. Mm-hmm.
Fudge is massive in that part of the country.
I'd always go down and go, Bob, pack me up some fudge, man. I need some to take home.
Yeah, exactly. Or when you'd go to the beach, right? We'd always go to the candy kitchen or something, and that was like part of going to the beach was that you got taffy and fudge.
Did you like the taffy?
I have some taffy at home that I bought in Maryland. I brought it back with me.
Like, it's okay. It's not bad. I just, like, if I get something stuck on my teeth, I want fudge.
If it was good, it would be gone.
If it was good, I would have given it to Thrill. Now, on the other hand, I did give him and his wife a package of burger cookies.
That is correct.
How long did those stick around?
Well, there was only two.
Oh.
Again, not long.
Right. But the taffy I like enough. We're like, taffy staying at home with old Chef.
Hey, man, that's a fair deal.
Shot of the Day is coming up at 5:08. You are listening to The Men's Room.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.